Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Pros Podcast. Just a threesome here today, Mike, Joe, and Brian. Boys, it's been a while.
What's up, Mikey?
That was a good segue if someone else is on the show, but we'll have to leave that for next week.
Oh, man.
Yeah, no Anth today. He was dealing with a few affairs.
He had his hands full. Let's put it that way. He couldn't make it.
Yeah, he couldn't do it, but...
All right. Everyone wants to know. He was sucking two dudes off, okay? I mean, it is what it is. He got a little gay in Florida and turning tricks down there, you know?
We'll let Eth talk about it next week.
Oh, if that's not a teaser, I don't know what is.
No. Yeah, we took a couple weeks off for the holidays, and I was on vacation the week before that, so I feel like it's a brand new season.
Yeah, the last episode was the players only edition.
That's right. There's a lot to talk about this week.
How's everyone's Christmases, New Year's, everything? Seems like ages ago already, believe it or not.
I know, right?
Yeah, I don't even remember, to be honest. It was so long ago.
Yeah. I feel like every week that passed by, I'm like, oh, I'm going to bring this up on the show. I'm going to bring this up on the show.
And then something else happens.
My vacation on the show. Yeah, and then something else happens. I'm like, oh my gosh. It's like you're dated already. But it was good. The holidays were good. Vacation was pretty good. I was in the Bahamas for 4 days.
That literally seems like it was like 2 years ago at this point.
I know. But yeah, we texted a bit, but when I was at this resort, Bahamar, and like celebrities like tend to go there on vacation a lot. First night I sit down and like I'm like facing like the back of the not the back of the restaurant, but my back is to like the rest of the restaurant, and Amanda's sitting like in a booth in front of me. I have like a booth seat. Mm-hmm. So whatever, we sit down and the couple beside us is like, oh my gosh, like, do you guys see what's going on? I'm like, no, what's going on? They're like, Michael Jordan's right behind you. And like, what? I'm like, Amanda's like, I don't know. I wouldn't know.
Just literally sitting in the exact wrong spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let's switch seats. So me and her switch seats.
Oh, that wasn't awkward.
Yeah. Good Lord. What are you on, Star Search?
And man, he was like 10, 12 feet in front of us eating dinner. It was insane.
Well, it was funny that it was like you were a PI or something like that, because that photo you grabbed, it was so like, oh, Amanda, let me take a picture of you. Turn the camera to the right.
Yeah.
Turn the phone to the right.
And I was lucky because like, so later on in the trip, a couple days later, so like it's well documented that like he's a degenerate gambler. Like that is, it's well known, right? And he's a bit of an ass. Yes. But a bit of an asshole. So
sometimes combines the two.
So a couple nights later, he was at a poker table, or I don't know what game they're playing, maybe blackjack, whatever. But he was at the table with his wife and his in-laws. And they roped around the table so that nobody can like come close. So then as people are walking by, obviously they're like, holy shit, it's Michael Jordan.
Way to cause a stir.
Get a picture or whatever. So his security is everywhere around the table. Everywhere. So people walk by and they're taking photos. And the security is going up to the people that are taking photos saying, show me the photo, delete the photo, delete it out of your deleted, and like move on. They didn't want anyone taking pictures of it.
So you got away with one.
So I got away with one.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple things.
Get yourself lucky. You could sell that picture, probably.
A couple things about the story I got to sink my teeth into here. First of all, number one, every guy knows the rule. When you're sitting down at a restaurant or a bar, you always take the seat that sees the rest of the restaurant and the bar. never turn your back to everything because you never know who's going to come in.
Especially
you
on never vacation.
Know, you never know. Yeah, especially on vacation. You know, a lot of pretty girls, then this, that. I don't care if you're with your wife. That's just the rule. So there you go.
You're such a
first strike.
Dude, that's the seat first she strike. Wanted. You're so single. It's amazing.
Oh, first strike. But
hold on,
but,
hold on, Mike. You had blinders on like the whole vacation.
Like even Joe.
No, of course I'd
even
love
even Joe knows okay. this, you know, that's the rule. But not just for that. It's just for you never know.
Just
something
in general,
funny might something yeah. funny might happen. Somebody might trip with a tray of shots and ends up on their face. I don't know, but you can't see anything with your backs to it.
Well, at least she gets to enjoy that moment.
Loser. Okay, secondly.
Well, hold on a second. Are you the guy that when you go on a date, you both sit in the booth and look at
no,
the restaurant?
No,
you
no.
are that. You sit, no. You're the same side of the
no,
table
buddy,
sitter.
Absolutely not.
Oh, those guys have to... Oh, those couples or
so,
those
actually,
duos
funny story,
have to like...
Funny story about that. I went to lunch with a girl the other day and it was a booth, right? We had sushi. So I sat down and she's like, oh, which side do you want to sit? I'm like, it doesn't matter to me. This... Normally it wouldn't matter, but this was in a closed off kind of section, so it didn't matter. See, my head's always in the game, Mike. So anyways, we sit down and she goes, okay, like if you wanted to sit on the same side, that'd be fine. And I pause and I was like, really? She's like, yeah, I think that's kind of cute. I'm like, no, it isn't. I immediately shut that down. So anyways, yeah, I'm not a same side. You have a perfectly good seat on the other side of the table.
Like when you
why do I
want to
turn my head and have a full convo with my neck kinked?
Exactly.
When I could just be looking at you. Yeah, it's
right. Or
that's
you,
an offside.
You, for the weddings, you have like you pick your seat that faces the whole
oh, 100%.
Right? The dance floor. You don't pick a seat that you
100 and
that
you know
face
what?
The wall.
So and to wrap the whole subject around, on New Year's was my cousin's wedding. And I was in the bridal party and the groomsmen all sat at the same table and it's like my cousin knows me because he put me on the side back against the wall. I could see the whole thing without having to turn. So, I mean, listen, when it's in the blood, it's in the blood, you know?
Yeah. He hooked you up.
He hooked me up. Anyways.
Is there anything else you need to sink your teeth into here?
I think I've got it all off my chest.
Okay. But what's funny is that, so the difference between these basketball guys. So, like, we heard a story. One of the workers on the beach was talking to us, and Shaq was there the month prior to when I was there.
Yeah, he can't go unnoticed.
And, no, but Shaq,
he's like the most generous man, apparently.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, he was playing around with, like, other people on vacation. Like, he was around the pool just screwing around, right, being really friendly. So he was at the pool area, and he had pushed a woman into the pool, like, just jokingly, like, screwing around. And she had her phone on her. And she comes up. She's like, oh, my gosh, I have my phone on me. He's like, oh, man. He felt so bad. He just peeled off $5,000 and handed it to her.
You can take my phone if you want. Go for it.
Yeah.
Someone's like, push my kids in, please.
how much are my kids worth?
Yeah. So I mean, you know what? It's different, right? Like, I always take pause, like, when people say, like, oh, this actor, this athlete is an asshole or is a dick. One, you can never judge anyone on their worst moment because you don't know what they're like. Two, word of mouth, I mean, you can't trust anyone's. In that case, this guy, he's been like that his whole life, right? He's been the center of attention for 40 years. So, like,
yeah,
he just, you know, I can understand it. When you go on vacation, you just, I don't want to deal with anything. I don't want to take pictures. I want to play some poker, play some golf, drink some Mai Tais.
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to know what you are.
Yeah, he does know what he is, and he's a guy that's very private, even though he's not. Shaq is very different. Shaq is bombastic, he's loud, but he's fun-loving. He likes the people, you know, he's on that great Inside the NBA with Chuck and they have a great rapport, and he's always been that kind of like mean but lovable guy. And MJ is just not that type of person.
No, definitely not.
But
it's too extreme.
Two extremes, yeah. I mean, two different. I mean, how many videos you see of Shaq where you know he's shopping and then he goes and says, "Yeah, you know what? He goes to random kids and say, get anything you want.
There's that
one big thing, and then
there's
the jewelry
one
where like
video that's going around recently. Like I think I just saw it a couple weeks ago that it was like. A little kid goes up and hugs Shaq's leg and then runs away. And then Shaq makes a point of saying, no, no, come back here.
Yeah.
And then hugs him, takes a picture or whatever he does.
Yeah, he's a special 7-foot monster. Okay. Yeah. He's a special dude.
Yeah.
But we don't have any of those in the NHL, so.
Well, I'm sure we do.
Well, we don't have any 7-foot four. You know,
well, large. Tage is close to
age,
that.
Yeah.
Tage.
The only one that the three of us didn't have him on our list, by the way.
Yeah, I'll still stand firm to that.
Oh, I think we're all right. Really, I think Anth is the oddball.
I don't care what the random pigeons on Twitter are chirping me about.
Yeah. Well, everyone agreed with me, so you know, the majority of the people agreed with me anyway.
Did you win that poll?
Yeah.
How close was it?
Let me pull it up quickly.
Jeez, I don't remember. So for anybody that's wondering what we're talking about here, so a few weeks ago, and I mean, if you're listening, you probably know, but a few weeks ago, we each put together a top 10 keeper list for players, so excluding goalies. And I'm just looking at it now. We all had the same top three, same order: McDavid, Dreisaitl, Matthews. And then it got a little hairy. So
I think 4 to 6 kind of just rotated between different guys, or 4 to 7. We basically had the same guys. It was just up or down one position.
Yeah. So the only 5 players appeared on the list just once between all 4 of our lists. Thompson and Hughes, which Anth had both of them. Makar and Brady Tkachuk was you, Joe. Yeah. I had Matthew Tkachuk. And then Bry had, like, he didn't have anybody.
You didn't have any unique.
No.
I had 33% of the vote. Anth had 28. Mike had 20. And Bry had 19.
So, not too bad. Pretty close there. I love, like, I saw a few comments. People were like, how can Hughes not be on everyone's list? How can Makar not be? I know. And I'm like, you realize it's the 10 best players in the world.
You're splitting hairs.
That are keeper going to the next year. Like, guys, relax. Maybe they were 11th. Like, yeah, everyone take a fucking chill.
Whether
pill,
it's
relax.
8th and 12th or 8th and 11th, like Tage Robertson relax. And all those guys would probably be from 11 to 15.
Aaron Rodgers, like, R-E-L-A-X, relax. It's all good.
Yeah. Speaking of Aaron Rodgers, and before we get into more of the hockey talk, so while I was away, they pretty much had all the channels, which I was surprised. Like, they had CBC, TSN, and all the U.S. channels, so, like, I can watch stuff, right? But one channel they did have that I haven't actually watched before, and Brian is going to have a lot to...
Okay.
Go ahead, bro.
I was going to say, like, ESPN, like, the Sportivo or something like that.
No. No. It's NFL Red Zone, okay? And
I just
I'm
came
watching this
in my pants thinking about it.
And I'm like, why has there not been an NHL, so call it whatever.
What is it?
Like, but why is there not an NHL
from, they go from game to game to game and
it
whatever?
It is amazing. Like, they like surface. Flip and they just so quickly, and you're always getting all of the action. Like,
so NHL's NHL Network did that.
They did that for a while, where they NHL on was it on the not on the ice? It was
something like that. Something like that.
Where it would flip back and I actually liked when they did that because it was like
ice tracking.
Like, sometimes you don't want to watch.
What it was.
The difference here's the difference, right? Football is unique in terms of not every single time, but you can switch to a game when a team you think is about to score because it's field position, right? They make a play, they're down in the red zone. Okay, they're down there. We're going to switch to this game.
Yeah.
Soon, if there's 3 games going on at the same time, they'll multi-box it. If a big score happens, they'll take it. Whereas hockey, basketball, it's very ebbs and flows. Anything can happen at any point. It would still be awesome, but it definitely, there is nothing like red zone and there couldn't be anything like red zone.
Yes.
I think the NFL can get away with it because they're such a big entity.
Okay, so.
Like, I think. Hockey can't really just because of the fact that
it's not the same kind of sport. It's
not
just,
only that,
it's
I think
different.
It's contractual. I think, you know, like certain networks have it, and if you're doing it, like it's all like if you want all the games, you have to get center ice or whatever. Or
Jerry, well, we all know how well the NHL runs everything. I think they were running the World Juniors this year too, actually, considering the finals back to back from the semis. But
wow.
I think it's always been like that.
We'll skip that,
but we'll skip that. We'll get
the NFL does everything literally does everything right. Scheduling games, they'll flex games near the end of the year out, like shitty games that don't matter. We'll flex them out and put a primetime game in there, like they did last night with the the Jaguars and Titans, where you win and you're in, you lose and you go home. That game was supposed to be like a 1 o'clock on tomorrow, kind of a time slot that gets lost. Instead, they flexed it to primetime Saturday night.
Yeah, they know what they're doing. The Sunday nighter coming up today, tonight.
I believe so.
I believe they did too, right?
Yeah, I believe. Yeah, they don't all 100% of the time get everything right, but they do a lot of things well with the fan in mind as well, right?
Yes, and they keep. And I guess the fantasy world of football is a lot bigger than hockey, obviously.
And red zone, like, as much as it's fun for, like, I love football. It's right up there for me. And my Sundays are spent with three screens and watching football. But what makes it fun and the reason why they do that is gambling and fantasy, right? Fantasy football is the biggest fantasy sport. I mean, we love fantasy hockey. That's what the show is. As much as we love it, it'll never ever get to fantasy football. It's just can't. There's no way for it to do it. But gambling's a huge thing. A lot of people bet, and I've been in a lot of living rooms and TV rooms when there is some change on a game, and there's always access to it because if you don't, people will be losing their mind.
Well, if you guys want access to NHL games, I know for Bell, anyways, in Canada. There is a free preview.
Yeah, it's
going
free
right now.
Eh? I flipped onto the Washington game the other day, and I was like, "Oh, it's
I saw it on my main screen. I was like, "What the heck?" And then so I went to the channels, and I was like, "Oh, it's free preview. That's weird. I've never seen an in-season free preview."
Yeah.
I don't know how long it lasts.
Maybe the new year. It's a new year thing.
Yeah, New Year thing. Maybe for the first week of January or 2 weeks or a month. I don't know how long it goes for, but as of now, it is.
Maybe because no one's buying it, so they're like, "We got to offer for free to get people to get it."
Yeah, maybe. But yeah, I don't know. The red zone of hockey could be power plays, could be the end of game. Yep. You know, overtimes. They could do it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would be good. Anyways, let's go on. Let's move on to the show here. It is a lot of talk. I should commend you guys though. Last show without me, it was really good. I enjoyed it. So good job. Didn't get to a lot of stuff, but it was good.
Considering it was done at 1:15 in the morning over Skype.
Yeah, that was good.
Because Zoom wouldn't let us on.
We made it work. No GM, no head coach needed. The players got it done.
Hardly any prep, maybe, because we all know the captain wasn't there. You know, he's the prepper.
Yeah, I had about 4 or 5 beverages in me already at that point because I was out to dinner. It was a good time.
The energy was
a good time, but we're back. On the rails.
And we will get right to the fantasy players of the night this week. Talk about some of the players that stood out, big performances on each night, starting with Jesper Bratt. Last Sunday, he had 2 goals and 1 assist and a 5-4 loss to Carolina. It's been a while since we talked about Bratt, but I think the same thing holds true. The guy's a bona fide like stud. I think, you know, he's got 40 points in 40 games this year. He's shown now over a pretty solid amount of time that he could be a point per game guy. The Devils are great. Hughes looks incredible.
Hughes is like, he has 19 goals in his last 20 games.
Yeah, like, the guy.
He's on fire.
He's the first Devil to do that since McGillney did it in 2000, 2001.
He's finally realizing that potential, that player that was
just pitching. You mentioned Hughes. I had to get that number out there because I saw that the other day. I was like, I didn't realize he was scoring at this rate.
Yeah, no, he's crushing it. He looks good. I was watching the Devils game. I think it was yesterday or
Rangers,
something.
Yeah, when they came back.
Yeah, Saturday. Yeah. So we'll leave it there with Bratt and Hughes and the Devils. Next we had Jake DeBrusque. He had 2 goals in the 2-1 Winter Classic win over Pitt.
One of which came before his broken foot.
Yes.
Or after, I can't remember when the foot actually was broken, but I think it was might have been before one of his goals or both of them actually.
Yeah, not like poor guy and like shitty for owners. He was having a hell of a year. 30 points in 36 games.
I'm not feeling sorry for the Bruins.
At least he gave you a game winner before he promptly broke his foot.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's like for the people that started him in like weekly leagues, Like, well, at least he got me two goals and a game winner, but didn't play after that.
But what
it's kind
it
of
did...
wild that it's kind. Sorry, Joe. It's kind of wild that was a guy not so long ago that was like kind of marred in the city and was like, okay, he's got to get traded. And
yeah.
I think he requested out as well, I believe, yeah. right? And
yes, he did.
And you know, if you fast forward now, it's 30 points, and I mean, he's going to be out for a month now, which sucks for him, but. Having a nice year, that whole talk's kind of quieted, and he's, you know, he's bounced back pretty well.
But with him out, you know, it does boost the three big boys on that team because they put that line back together, the perfection line of Pasta, Marchand, and Bergeron.
Bergie?
So, yeah, those three are back yeah. together because of the injury. So
and here comes another 6-7 in a row.
How long it lasts, who knows? Maybe because that second line won't produce as much and they might change it up again. But right now, that's the way they're going with it.
Also big for Hall because he now gets on the top power play
yeah.
unit because DeBrusque was taking that.
And if I'm not mistaken, he gets into the second line, right? Top six because he was in, I think he was playing third line. If I'm not mistaken, I think he got bumped down to the third line to spread out the offense sort of thing. I could be wrong on that, but I did see something.
Not sure. But where he is now yeah. is in a much better spot. So one man's... Not one man's trash is another man's treasure, but one man's unfortunate news is another man's fortunate news. Moving along to Tuesday night, Tage Thompson, 3 goals, 1 assist, 5-4 win in overtime over Washington. He had the game winner there. Tage Thompson, I mean, we talked so much about this guy, but 56 points in 37 games. He ranks 3rd in the league in points, 2nd in goals, which is just 2 behind McDavid, 31 goals. Guys, I mean, maybe we should have had him in our top 10.
No, I stand by it. I don't think don't get me wrong. He's been great, but I don't know. I think... Like
He's incredible. Yeah,
but for 6-7 guys, and you know I'm focusing on hits, but he has what, like 12 hits on the season?
Is that all he has, really?
He has it's a low amount. Here, I'll check right now as we continue talking about this. But he
Yeah, that's always just revisiting our lists, that's what makes like Matthews so incredible.
And that's yeah.
He does everything. So but if Tage only has 12 hits, I mean, it's a little bit of a knock on him.
He has 18 hits.
Yeah, that's... Well, maybe it'll...
like he has 162 shots. So, like...
It's always the argument. It's like, you know, you had Brady Tkachuk in your top 10. Yeah. And then like, that's always the argument. It's like, how do you value hits?
It obviously depends like, the league peripheral. Settings. But, like, it's... Yeah. like. What pushed Brady over the top for me, especially this year, he's starting to get the points. He's becoming yeah. that almost point per game kind of guy that like where all the other stuff just adds to his value. The points are just there now, right?
Yeah. But on Tage, I thought it was crazy. So I think it was about a month ago now on the 32 Thoughts podcast, they had mentioned that I think it was last year, before he got good on Buffalo. Buffalo offered him to a good team for a 5th round pick.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Yeah, they talked about it a little bit on Overdrive as well, and they mentioned that the Sabres were close to trading him for a
5th.
Was it a 5th? Yeah, I thought I heard a 4th or a 3rd, but yeah, a 5th. Yeah, there you go.
Like. Could you, like, that team, like, they said it's a good team, the NHL, like, so, I mean, it could be Leafs, it could be Colorado, it could be Boston.
I would
like,
just love
knows?
To know that team.
Let's not even speculate, because that's just going to make things worse.
And
let's not think about it, let's not talk just, about it.
It just goes to show you, man.
What's
like,
worse? What's worse, the GM that offered that deal, or the GM that didn't take that deal now? Like, if you're sitting in that spot right now... Which
the guy who offered it looks worse. I mean, they both look like shit.
Like, if you're like, why would it like if it's a 5th round pick, why wouldn't that GM just say, okay, sure, take a 5th rounder for him?
That just goes to show you how they didn't think that this guy would do what he's doing.
But even then, it's a 5th freaking rounder. Well, who cares?
But also, I mean, the guy's a stud, but also, I mean, he goes to that team. because it's only a fifth round pick, maybe he's actually kind of gets lost in the system, plays on the third line, doesn't really play, never really becomes the player that he is. I mean, there's so many
factors, but
you know, so many factors and things that have to happen. So it's, I mean, it doesn't look good, you know, optically, but when you look at, take a deep dive,
I would
really
love to know
what's going
to
happen with things
GM
like that.
Or that team was.
Me too. I'll say I drafted him in our league. I think it was like 3 years ago when he was on St. Louis. I actually drafted him because I thought this guy looks pretty good. If he could put it together, he might be a bit of a steal for me. And he obviously, it was on St. Louis. He didn't put it together.
Yeah, I've had a couple of those. I've drafted like Kyle Connor a year or two before he was took off. Finally, Connor Hellebuck, yeah. Same deal. Like we've all had those kind of stories.
But yeah, and we can move to Saturday night's fantasy player of the night, Rasmus Dahlin. Since we're talking about the Sabres here, Dahlin again. He's just like Thompson. He ranks third in the league among defensemen. 44 points in 36 games. Ahead of him is Carlson and Morrissey. Carlson 1, Morrissey 2. Which, I mean, your top three midway through the season is Carlson, Morrissey, Dahlin. No Makar, no Fox, no Hedman. I don't know who would have had that.
If there was a line, a gambling odd for that, I think that would have been 950-1 for those three to be the top three at the halfway point of the year.
Fourth fantasy ranked. Among defensemen, so
yeah,
he's half his points are power play points, and we're only halfway through the year. He's got 22 power play points.
He's having a hell of a year. I mean, wild. Between the shots, the hits, the block, he literally does everything. Which I mean, you can argue that he's been the best defenseman for fantasy hockey this year so far.
There's three. Well, Yahoo has him fourth. So can you name the three above him?
Okay, Carlson, Morrissey.
Yes.
Just based on points.
So that's first and third. Who's second?
Fox?
No. Fox is sixth.
Ooh.
I think because it's our fantasy, right? So you got to take into account peripherals.
This one surprised me, actually.
Sergachev?
No. Roman. Yossi.
Yossi.
Yeah.
I love Roman.
Oh, man.
That's surprising. And then Makar's fifth. So those are your top six. But
we'll talk about this next week, but these lists get a little buzz. So we'll have to do a keeper defenseman list moving forward, maybe, because Dahlin is going to be right near the top of that moving forward.
Well, I personally think that we should, number one should be unanimous.
Makar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should be. But we'll
should
see.
Be.
We'll see.
See what happens. Who's next?
Yeah, moving along to Wednesday nights. John Gibson, 35 save shutout, 2-0 win over Dallas. Joe, you did the write up for that one, and you put it great. It's been a horrible year for Gibson, but it was a night to remember.
Gibson and the Ducks.
Yeah, he's got a 7.26-3 record. He's the worst GAA, worst save percentage of his career. It's been a grind for Gibson.
And it's so strange. Like,
remember when he didn't want to come to Toronto?
Remember when he didn't want to leave, period? Like as
an idiot.
Like, do you think that changes, or does he just want to ride out his career there? Like, are you like, I don't know. I don't know how you can stay in a place that you're still going to get your money. I don't know how you can stay in a place that you're just getting shelled every night and you have no future and no win. Like, ugh.
I don't know. Maybe this is finally the year where something's gonna give and he's be dealt.
We say that every year.
Yeah, I know. Sticking with the Ducks, McTavish on Friday had 2 goals, 2 assists, 5-4 win over
the
Sharks.
Starting to take off a little bit.
He is. McTavish is rewarding owners who held on to him because I think, I don't know, is he around? I have to check the numbers, but he might be like around a point per game in his past 10 or so.
Yeah, I'd have to check the numbers on that, but
something like that.
He's starting to, that's for sure, at least.
Yeah, he has 12 points in his last 10 games. So McTavish has been good. And deep leagues, he should be owned because
he's only 4 points back of Beniers for the rookie scoring lead.
There you go. So
that goes to show you exactly what he's done recently.
And then lastly, Thursday night, we had a UC Saros, 64 saves in a 5-3 win over Carolina. That's a .955 save percentage. That's two. He gave you a 2-for-1 special there. Two games in one, 64 saves.
Yeah, that was incredible. Like, that's something we haven't seen in, like,
the third goalie ever to do it, I believe it was.
I think it was sixth goalie to ever get 60 plus in a game.
Yeah, I think on the outset, like, you look at, you know, three goals against, you're like, oh, whatever. But, I mean, when a guy does that, which is an historic thing, you got to give him the player of the night. That's just nuts.
Yeah,
he was literally on his head, on his legs, on his ankles. The guy was just standing everywhere.
Like, he's the sixth goalie to make 60 or more in a game. And, like, first since 91, since Tugnut did it. So, like...
Oh, the tugboat.
Yeah. And he's, like, he finished one shy. The tugboat. He finished one shy of the NHL record for, like, a regulation game, not in overtime, the amount of saves. So...
Yeah.
The three goals is irrelevant to me. He still had a .955 save percentage on the night.
I gave it to you.
Fair enough.
All right. That's it for fantasy players of the night. But there are a few things that happened since our last episode we have got to talk about. And someone our top 10 keeper list did not feature was Connor Bedard.
Because he's
It
shouldn't have.
No.
Okay. I was shooting for the moon. I know I shouldn't have.
Unless we're looking into next year and people are going to draft him, so you can't keep a player when he hasn't been drafted.
Okay, super early projection for Bedard next season. Does he... Okay, go ahead. I don't know. Go ahead. Throw out a number. I think 90 points.
What?
Yeah.
What are you smoking?
Why not?
I was going to say 60, 65.
No, man. This guy's over a point per game next year.
He's not Jack Hughes in the first 3 years of his career, I think.
I don't think it's in his first 3 years.
He's not Connor McDavid, but
I don't think he gets point per game next year. In his first year, no shot. I don't think.
Why not?
I'm going to put it at 75 and a half over under.
Over, man.
75 and a half. I'm going under.
Okay.
Well, he's going to go. He's going to likely go. Thing is, he's going to be on an awful team. Well, most likely. I mean, the lottery can move guys up, but.
He's not McDavid. We can agree he's not McDavid.
He's not McDavid.
Is he Crosby?
No.
I think he's closer to Crosby. I think he's the best.
He's not Crosby.
I think he's the best.
Do you remember Crosby when he was coming into the league? I think he's a franchise-changing player.
Okay, give me
I'm still not sold if he's going to be generational.
Okay, give me the equivalent hype of Bedard coming into the league. Is it...
I don't know. Hype-wise, I think it's close to where you're going with, but I don't think that... I think it's more... Like, I think he's going to end up similar to, like, what a Patty Kane or like something like that. Like, I don't see him.
Leon Draisaitl?
Like, yeah, but even the hype coming into the draft for Draisaitl wasn't huge. But like,
no, but I mean,
he's going to become something like, yeah, I don't think he's McDavid. I don't think he's Sid. I don't think he's.
I want to pick what you say and then I want to look at their rookie points. So Kane, for example.
Yeah.
72 points in 82 games.
Yeah.
And Chicago was shit.
Well, yeah. So that's, I said 60, and then, 65, and then, right?
And
so
then Kane became the greatest American player to ever play the game. So that's a pretty good.
Like, I think
if you're gonna say he's going to be that, that's pretty good.
Yeah. That's where I think his ceiling could be higher, way higher. I'm just saying that's where I see him evolving into.
I think he's going to be an absolute stud starting next year.
Like, I don't think he's a McDavid.
I don't think he's putting up 150 points.
No, obviously, but I don't think he's going to put up 100 even.
He's also, you got to remember, he's 17 years old. Yeah. Right? He's going to come into the league as being 18. That's not always.
Like, Sid did that and put up, what, 100 and. It was 102 or 100. Sid is Sid. Did he, that's what I mean. I don't think he's.
You can't have a generational player every 3 years because then it's not a generational player.
Guys, I don't think anyone in the league has the same release as him. Nobody shoots the puck the same way.
Nobody. In between both of you.
Matthews has a better release than him.
Listen to me. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah.
I'm saying the way he shoots the puck, that signature curl, and Matthews doesn't do that like that.
Yeah, he does. He does the curl in.
It's not the same.
A little quicker, I think.
Okay.
I saw a highlight reel of just, and now they're playing against, you know, Germany and Austria and some of these teams, but I saw it was like a minute and a half highlight reel of just his playmaking ability, not even scoring, just his vision and passing. He's like, you know, when you're playing checkers and he's playing chess, trying to like making passes. He had that one in the final, that diving hook sauce where he just dove, and you know, and the comment, I think Johnson said, like, yeah, he practices that. Like, he's not, like, that's not a fluke. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me right now? That guy was tape to tape sauce on his stomach. I don't know. I'm going to go 80 points because I want to see the kid do something.
He's going to.
I will say this. If you're in a keeper pool,
number one overall,
he is number one no matter who is available.
Yep. Okay.
I don't care. Well,
this is where I wanted to go.
How many keepers you have in a league? If you have, because most keeper leagues at least have like minimum three keepers. He is your first overall pick, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Redraft leagues.
That's a different story.
So if you say 65 points, then you're taking him in the fourth round.
Third round.
Yeah, I might because his ceiling is a little higher than that. Like,
fair, yeah.
It's like, you could cheat on him. But yeah, in a redraft, I don't see him going.
Well, you shouldn't.
I would lean around the third round, depending on how many people like in your pool. Like, if you have anywhere between 12 and 13 bodies in your pool, you're looking at what? Top 25. There's 25 better players than him next year.
Yeah. Well, in a redraft, there's no upside to waiting on a player. Like, you need guys that'll do it that 1 year, and then if he pops off and he's a 100-point guy, okay, draft him in the top 10 next year. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
But there's no it's keeper leagues where he's one overall because you have him for the next 3 years, right? Or two, at least. Years, whatever it is. And whatever, if he's a stud, then you have a stud for the next 2-3 years, right? And chances are, if you're drafting one overall, you're the Arizona Coyotes of your fantasy.
And if you have salary caps also in your league, he'll be minimum league min and all that, depending on how you have your salary cap set up.
Or if you're like our league, where it's kind of like the NHL, you can finish last and never seem to seemingly draft first overall or draft.
Gotta win a lottery.
Gotta win a lotto.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's gonna be an absolute monster next year, but. We'll see. We'll have a lot of talk with him, I'm sure, in our preview episodes next year.
By the sounds of it, Mike, you could put him in your mid-season awards. whatever category. Breakout performance. I don't know what our categories are. Even.
No, we're getting ridiculous.
It sounds like you'll put him in there right now.
Yeah. Joe, this guy. Okay. Few other things here. Jakub Vrána, or Jacob Vrána, I don't know how you want to say it, was waived and not claimed. Joe, there's some funny business that is not public.
Yeah, I put out a tweet on my personal account, and I'll just pull it up just so I can read it verbatim. But it was more so like this screams Yzerman kind of flexing his muscles. You know his
clout around the league.
Yeah, how he's known. Like, he's very don't care. Like, how he operated with Tampa. Like, this is your number. Sign it or leave it. And I think, I don't know, there's something behind the scenes that maybe happened. And I'm not just, like, it has nothing to do with him going to the drug program or whatever, the substance abuse program kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think something happened. They put him on waivers to see if anyone would grab him for free. But this screams to me Detroit having to, like I tweeted, my guess for Ryan Eclair's because the team doesn't want the full cap hit. If the Wings really want him gone, they'll have to eat salary in a trade. That's the only way I think
he goes. Disagree with you. Say the lie, Joe. I agree with me.
No, I agree with myself.
Yeah. No, but Joe, this, I think, your tweet basically saying that like he's not a good player anymore. But he is. I think this is a personal thing. I think that...
No, it has nothing to do with him not being a good player, my tweet.
Wouldn't they want to eat the cap hit? He's a good player.
Yeah, but we just saw that. Like, my thing is that no team picked him up on waivers for free. So, obviously, they don't want the cap hit. They don't want.
I think it's deeper than that.
So what is it?
I think it might be related to the substance abuse stuff. I think it could be something like I don't want to speculate, but maybe something happened. Maybe this like, listen, this guy's not going to be a player for us this year. He needs to stay here with his family. I would prefer keep him in Detroit, and we need to shed this. We need to get a rip, get him down, and the guy needs to take care of himself, sort of thing. I don't know. It's too shady that some team would not pick him up. That's just weird. That's weird.
No, I think we see it all the time. We've seen people go on waivers and then like...
Not of this caliber. Verana's a different story.
I'm telling you right now, they're not helping out the Red Wings. If they want this player, there's an avenue where they will call Yzerman and say, we'll take this player off your hands, but either we've seen it with, I'm going back way back because the first thing that comes to mind is Kessel and the Leafs and the draft picks. They could have easily had him for a lot less, but they said, okay, let's make a trade. This is the scenario where it's like, okay, we're going to make a trade, but we're not letting you out of this contract or out of this player for free.
What? How much money does he make?
He makes over five. I think it's 5.25.
That's nothing.
5.25 for nothing?
For frigging Arizona, like, I'm sorry. The guy's still young. It's shady, Joe. I don't think this goes beyond hockey.
Arizona's not doing it because they're not worried about the cap hit. They're worried about money.
This goes beyond
because it is also salary. Don't think, like, when you retain salary, you're not retaining just a cap hit. You're retaining money as well. Don't forget that. So if Arizona is going to take that money, they got to pay him out fully. If a team like that, you're going to say, no, I'll take that guy. But guess what? You're going to either eat salary and you're going to get him for nothing. You're going to get him for a third round pick or whatever it is. You're going to get something for him, but it won't be much. But you're going to take salary back and he's going to be a $3.5 million player. Or you're going to give us an asset back for taking him at a full contract. We're not just taking the full contract for free. You're going to give us something for taking that full contract.
Okay, fine. Listen, I think it's beyond hockey, but fine. Maybe we might never know. I mean, I guess if we never know, you're right. So it's like, I don't win here unless some shit comes out.
Yeah.
All right, whatever. Let's move on.
But fantasy-wise, he would be a decent player. He's a decent player.
Yes, he's a good player. So that's where it's like
interesting to see where he'll end up because he's not playing in the AHL. I'll tell you that right now. Forever.
No. Well, we will find out eventually. What else we got here? We haven't spoken in a while since the proposal for 84-game season came out. Just quickly, I mean, it's not really fantasy related, but are we yay or nay for 84 games?
I knew Brian was going to say no.
I am all in.
Bring it to 70.
I'm all in for 84 just because it's going to get rid of two or three preseason games. The season's not extending. It's the same season. They're just adding two games to make it even.
How about you just get rid of the preseason games and don't add more games?
Because it's money. It's free money for the owners. They're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Business-wise, they're not going to do that.
Okay.
I hate it.
That's all it is.
I hate it. It's brutal.
Okay, a couple other things here. Kochetkov, Copley, Kachuk have stumbled a little bit lately, but have Carolina and LA found their two goalies of the future?
Copley, no. Kochetkov, yes.
Okay.
Because so, Anderson's on an expiring deal, and I believe Ranta is too. So,
yeah.
And they got Kochetkov on a cheap deal for the next, I think, 3 or 4 years. I can't remember what they just signed him to.
That's amazing. Yeah, so... And
it's, to me, it's Kochetkov the whole way through. Is that's your goalie for the future. Because, yeah, Ranta's gone for after this year, and so is Freddie. They only have 1 year left, and he just signed a 4-year deal extension for $2 million. So they're laughing.
Man, we always talk about, like, preseason, who's going to be the Binnington? Who's going to, you know what I mean? And it looks like it's Kochetkov this year.
Yeah.
Which is crazy because he's the clear number three going into the season. And now he seems like he's a keeper
clear number goalie. One.
Keeper goalie.
Anderson, even healthy. Like, he's. And I hate to go back to the Leafs, but the Leafs are looking like geniuses letting Anderson walk and letting Campbell walk.
Yeah. Yeah, like, they are.
Because Anderson hasn't been seen in I don't know how long. And he, even when he's healthy, he's not coming back into the net. It's Kochetkov's net at this point.
Yeah, you got to give Dubas credit for everything that he gets flack for. And he definitely took flack for it for this. I mean, I gave him shit. The season's only halfway done, but the two guys he brought in look pretty good. We'll see come playoffs.
It's not even about the guys he brought in. It's just, wow, I couldn't believe it. The two guys he let go for nothing.
He let go for nothing, and Campbell's, his soup is super chunky and ugly right now, and not smooth at all.
Chunky.
And,
love it.
Anderson is, you know, doing Anderson, man. He's just kind of disappearing, not
he's,
really around.
He's not so. Playing.
Yeah,
but on the Copley conversation, I mean, you have Cal Peterson that got sent down. They don't want anything to do with him. Quick's aging. Is Copley? You just don't think Copley's good enough, and they're going to like bring in someone else?
Yeah, I don't think. I think eventually they go back to Peterson. They have to. He has what, 3 more years left at $5 million, or 2 more years, and
Ellie's not bad too.
Well, yeah, if they had any, like, if they had any average goaltending,
this team would be right up there in that division.
They'd be up there. They'd beat Vegas. Like, they're 2 points back of Vegas, I believe,
Copley
right now.
He hasn't been bad, man. He's lost one game in his past. What do I see here? 1, 2, 3. Like, his record's been incredible. Yeah. Quietly a 10-2 record for Copley.
Peterson has 2 more years at $5 million. Quick's the UFA after this year. And Copley needs a new contract.
He'll factor into the tandem next year. I think they have a tandem situation.
Yes, I think he will. It's just who will be that second goalie. I don't see, maybe there's a team that takes on Peterson, but again, that's a scenario where I think you might have to eat some salary if you're LA.
And last thing I want to touch on here is Fleury last night. He let in 5 goals. He was apparently like just really down on himself at the end of the game, and he's taking a leave from the team. They say he'll be back on the team. He'll take. He's finding out about this now.
I didn't hear.
Let me finish.
I did not hear.
He
about
said
the
it's
leave.
Just a couple days. He'll be back with the team on Tuesday, but it's worth noting. Jeez. Because I mean, a leave from the team sounds daunting. They say he's going to be back Tuesday. If that extends for some reason, I mean, Gustafson's been good lately. Very good. So
he has been. Like, I think he's ranked 85th in
you could,
in Yahoo, which
you could, that could be a little sneaky, a little sneaky pickup. I mean, we just talked about Copley and Kochetkov. Who knows where this goes? So if you don't have Gustafson, maybe keep an eye on him.
And Fleury's only up, like, he only has 1 more year left on his deal. They have Gustafson, and then they also have Jesper Wallstad, who's apparently the future in that for them.
Yeah.
I've heard really good things about him, so.
All right. Let's go, let's move on to some major injuries that happened over the past couple weeks here. Jake DeBrusk, we spoke about. John Carlson is going to be out for a while. He took a slap shot to the face. Gustafson has assume that PP1 role. He's actually looked good. He's been good, put up points. So he's actually, his ownership has skyrocketed. He's a very, very good add because that power play is only getting better with Backstrom and Wilson coming back. Well, Backstrom, Wilson probably be on PP2, but nonetheless, they have a stock power play. I mean, you're passing the puck over to Ovi, you're getting points. Torrey Krug also got injured. Yeah. Justin Falk, sneaky, like solid value in peripheral leagues. Like very, very good player. He does a lot, shoots a bunch. So Falk gets the bump there. Chris Letang is still away from the team following the passing of his father. We wish him all the best. But with him out and Petrie still out, I think Ty Smith is still on PP1. Might be Joseph now. But that's his temporary situation. And then Tarasenko, O'Reilly for St. Louis. I think now it's probably 3 weeks for Tarasenko, 5 for O'Reilly from this point.
I thought it was the other way around.
Well, no. It's,
is O'Reilly 6?
O'Reilly was 6, Tarasenko was 4.
Tarasenko was 4? Okay.
So, yeah, St. Louis can actually put together a top power play unit instead of two even ones. also saw the return of Palat, Pacioretty, Eichel from injury, Fabry is a little bit lesser extent, but he could factor in deep leagues. So quickly, Joe, because we got a lot of these questions this week. Pacioretty, Backstrom, Wilson, rank them moving forward.
That exact order.
I agree. Okay, good.
Pacioretty, Backstrom, Wilson. Good. If Wilson's on PP1, I would maybe lean Wilson over Backstrom, but I think Pacioretty is your number one guy, and then it goes Backstrom and then Wilson.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, a lot of people are concerned because Dylan Strome's had a great year, and a lot of people are concerned that the return of Backstrom is going to hurt his value. I think it's going to. I don't see how it can't, because I don't see Backstrom not being on the top power play unit. Like, maybe off the beginning, they're going to kind of let him ease in, but give it a week or so, if not right away, he's going to be the power play guy, and you're going to...
Yeah, give it the first minute of the first power play, and then Ovi looks at the bench saying, let's get Nicholas on the ice, okay? Thanks very much.
And then Strom's value takes a sky dump. So...
Big time.
Might want to look at maybe dealing him. It's a bit of a risk, but... I mean, no risk, no reward, because a week from now, if he's not getting any points, he's not on the top power play unit, it's kind of useless because he doesn't do anything else but get points.
Nope.
Okay. Week ahead. It's your typical heavy night schedule. Mondays, Wednesdays, Fridays, Sunday. There's no more than 4 games on any of those nights. So you have a big Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday slate. The only team that plays on 3 of those 4 off nights is Edmonton, and there's just not a lot of options on Edmonton. Guys that factor into that top 6, you get excited about, and they just don't do anything. Puljujarvi, Yamamoto, Klim Kostin's out there. At least he'll hit, but there's really not much. Like, there's just...
They're very top
so
heavy.
So disappointing, and those other guys on Edmonton.
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs.
you know what's actually, we talked about this earlier in the year and in the preview episodes, the Barry Bouchard thing. And I said, this is kind of Barry's year over Bouchard. Bouchard's been like non-existent.
Yeah, that's true too. I think I lean towards Bouchard, I think, in those episodes, and they're not.
But we said it contractually, it's way easier for the Oilers if Bouchard has a bad year. And they, I think they played him 12 minutes last night.
It's tough. Like, I don't see anyone. I think it's a 3-horse race for the final 2 spots. There's 3 teams in that race for the final 2 wildcard spots. And you have Calgary, Edmonton, and Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Nashville's 3 points out, but I don't see them pushing. And they, and like, Nashville, Colorado all have 3 games in hand on the Oilers. And they're, Colorado's 2 points back of Edmonton, and Nashville's 3 points back of Edmonton. And Calgary, actually, because they both have 45 points.
It's good.
I don't see any of the divisional teams dropping out.
It'll be interesting. Personally. We're about at the halfway mark. And speaking of which, next episode, Anth should be back, and we'll have our mid-season fantasy awards, which we do every year. So That is
we're all doing the pose. For anyone watching, we're all have our hands on our heads stretched.
So
this
yeah,
is also the position when I'm getting a blowy.
Well, you haven't.
He's getting hungry. He's getting a growl on. He has a feast upstairs waiting for
hasn't
him.
Said I'm squat in 20 minutes.
He's just thinking of the pancakes, the waffles, the eggs, the bacon.
Almost better than sex.
Yeah, but bacon's.
I don't know. We should pose that question to Anth.
What's better, brunch? An unreal brunch that just hits everything, or sex? I don't know, man. I mean, if you're having shitty sex,
or
I
a back scratch.
Oh. A little rub down on the back area. God.
Oh, we got Brian engaged again, finally. Boys. We got.
Now we gotta go.
Okay.
Yeah. On that note,
you know what? I wanted to talk about Line A bit. I wanted to talk about that guy with no hips that fights in Ultimate Fighter that you guys spoke about on the show when I was
no legs
with no legs,
Mr. No Torso. I think it's a joke.
I'll quickly
say it's incredible. We'll just touch quickly on it because you know my situation here.
Yeah.
I think it's unbelievable that guy has the ability and the talent to do so, but it's completely unfair.
Unfair, absolutely.
When you're a normal. I mean, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I am. So when you're a normal person with legs, you stand up, your game, you're up there. You got to bend down. You're immediately removed. Your ability is gone. So, like, his takedown defense, well, he's already on the ground. So, like, you know, whatever. I don't think it should be allowed.
Do you know why? I was thinking about this. What makes it so hard is because he doesn't have any hips. How do you hold a guy down that doesn't have hips? Like, there's no mounting. There's nothing. You can't. No. Well, you can't hold on. You have no leverage.
There's no guard either. You're just torso.
Think about it. It's completely illegal.
Yeah, it's. I mean, the upper body strength must be Herculean. Ridiculous. Because if he's holding guys down with just arms,
he has no leverage at all.
No,
yeah,
he doesn't have to do leg day. That's an extra day to do your upper body.
It's like a midget when you see those cute little things, you just kick them. And it's like, you think you'd just be able to just like kick this guy or something.
You are crossing that's a territory. Deleted.
That's
going to cancel?
Oh, that's going to be
I said they're cute.
We got to go. This is going to a place where.
We got to fly.
Good. Yeah, we got to fly. Okay, that's enough. Next week, mid-season fantasy awards. I think it's our fourth annual? I don't know, but it's a big show. It's a big show.
Yeah, look for Connor Bedard to be in those for sure.
Yeah, maybe. But
suck hard for Bedard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Oh, there's the title. Suck hard for Bedard, both in fantasy and real life NHL.
If that's what it takes to get a good suck off.
And we're out of here, guys. Good luck in your pools this week.
We got a dip. We will get out of hand.
We will chat next week on a big show. Take care, guys.
Ciao.
Buonanotte.